Okay, thanks everyone for coming out. As Doug said, my name is Dan Kane. I am a research technician at Michigan State University with Dr. Sig Snell. And the presentation I'm going to do today is kind of part methods paper and some early results from what we're doing. And the title is Perennial Grains Around the World, a Bibliometric Analysis. And I'd like to first, right off the bat, acknowledge both Paul Roger, who's a postdoc in our lab, and Sig for helping us kind of come up with the framework for this idea, and also particularly Paul helping with some of the methods parts of it. So I'm sure this is probably not going to be the first time and the last time we see this picture today. This has kind of become an iconic image when we think of perennial grains, and you know, it's probably rightfully so. It kind of captures a lot of what we think about with perennial grains. They have really extensive root systems that are there, they're present all year round, and there are all sorts of benefits that we might accrue from that in terms of carbon sequestration, reducing leaching, things like that. And you know, this is particularly a perennial wheat, which has been the focus of a lot of our attention because that's probably what's gotten the most public attention, you know, through our articles and National Geographic and other sources, things like that. But there's a number of other possible perennial crops, and you know, as in Eric's previous presentation, he's talked a lot about existing perennial staples, wild relatives, and things like that that have been in production or used for a while. But there's also some existing varieties of things like sorghum, which is on the left here, pigeon pea in the center, and rice down on the right that are being currently bred to be perennial. But there's actually been previous efforts, you know. With perennial wheat, there is an extensive efforts in the Soviet Union to try and perennialize it for use there. Perennial pigeon pea, as we've heard, is in use in some parts of the globe, and there's been efforts to try and perennialize that further or find ways to use it in different systems, and rice as well. There's been a lot of effort in Southeast Asia to perennialize rice and make it a returning crop so we can harvest it and then reuse the same plants year to year. And since, you know, there's all this existing kind of work that's been done, there's an existing body of literature. And coming at this, once we kind of, you know, realize there's these existing crops that perhaps are out there that might be ready to use or somewhat close to be ready to use, that we wanted to get a sense of where's the literature stand, you know, what kind of topics have been covered already, you know, who is publishing on these and what types of journals, and when, you know, is this current research or is it stuff that's been, you know, that happened many years ago and that literature is kind of lying dormant somewhere, unused. So keeping that in mind, we decided it would be really interesting to try and do a sort of literature review, but take that literature review one step further and do what we would call a bibliometric analysis. And kind of how that shakes out is into a four-step process. So first, we need to find all that literature through whatever resources we can. We need to save it, kind of get it into a large corpus, as what we'll call it, a body of work that we can then kind of analyze and look at, curate it a little so make sure we don't have things that are erroneous or irrelevant to what we're interested in, and then analyze it. And the analysis step is probably going to be kind of the most interesting part of this. But and we drew on some methods for the analysis that are becoming more and more feasible, and there's existing software packages to do them now based actually on, of all things, groups that are interested in analyzing things like Twitter posts, you know, massive bodies of text, and trying to get a sense just by analyzing that huge body of text, what's going on, what are people saying, what are general topics that are emerging from all these things without having to kind of go through and put your own perhaps biased kind of interpretation and filter on top of it. So the search part. To do that, we're using, you know, the various databases that are available to us through the Michigan State Library. We chose three in particular. We can certainly expand it. The three we chose were Web of Science, which is a great one, really usable, a large number of journals that are part of it. Agricola, which is an EBSCO database that is focused on agricultural sciences and agroecology, and Science Direct, which is kind of a general database but has a number of agricultural and agroecological journals in it. But the key to doing searches and doing them well, we realized, was coming up with good search terms. So the general kind of way that we found to do that is to use first a descriptor that's relevant to what we're interested in. So the ones we chose were perennial, long duration, and ratoon with an asterisk, which will come up with basically every variation of ratoon, ratooned, ratooning, ratoons. So using that, and then also a crop term. So we chose a variety of different crops. I'm only going to present on a few here today, but things like wheat, pigeon pea, rice, and then also their scientific names to make sure that we get hits on both of those. And then combining those search terms with an operator, a Boolean operator, that will limit all of our results to papers where those words appear within one word of each other. So we're not pulling up papers that where perennial is in one part and then the crop term is, several paragraphs later. We want them to be close so that we know we're getting it papers where people are talking about them as actual perennials. It's not just that the two words happen to appear in the same paper together. And then from there, we want to save all those things together and put them into a format that we can then use and analyze. And what we ended up going with after trying a couple different things is Zotero. And this is just a screenshot of what Zotero looks like. If you're unfamiliar with it or you haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. It is an open source citation manager that I believe comes out of George Mason University. And it's really powerful. It connects to a lot of the databases that people typically use. It has some really nice kind of code embedded in it so that when you're looking at a paper, there will be something that pops up in your URL bar. You can just click on it and it will save that paper. Or the way we ended up using it was being able to take a whole search that you do through a search engine like Web of Science, export it all at once so you have a whole list of all these papers, and then import it into Zotero. And what's great is it'll put it all together into one library for you, and it'll also keep all of the information that goes along with that paper. So everything from the publication date, authors, which publication it's in, and then also the abstract. And being able to keep the abstract along with each citation was really important to us, as you'll see in a little bit. So then we save everything in there, tag it with the searches that we use to get each paper. So as you could maybe kind of see on the right, the one that's highlighted, it's Web of Science. It's something we found in Web of Science, and it was found using the perennial rice search term. And then basically after that, we try and eliminate duplicates, which Zotero has a tool for, which is really powerful. It works really well. And what we ended up with after doing all these different searches, which was a whole library that included about just under 2,700 references. And from there, we export it and analyze it. And it's really easy to take it from Zotero and export it into a file that's really easily manipulated within the R statistical language. And we kind of mishmashed a lot of different types of methods together and came up with what we're doing. And just to kind of speak generally about bibliometric analysis, if it's an unfamiliar term, it's just a set of methods to quantitatively analyze literary metadata and content as well. So basically what we're interested in is figuring out, when were all these papers published and where were they published, which journals, things like that. Because we can't really go through 2,700 references and get a good sense of, what's going on without driving ourselves crazy. And then the second part was analyzing the content itself. And the approach we chose to use for that is called topic modeling, and that's what I was referring to earlier with, these methods that are emerging to analyze large body of texts that are being produced on the internet. And the method in particular is called latent Dirichlet analysis, and it kind of what it does is it analyzes a big body of texts, all the different pieces within that body of texts, and looks for latent topics by identifying words that co-occur really frequently. And what emerges is we'll have, we can tell the algorithm how many topics we want it to produce, and then it'll put back all these different topics and give us the words that sort of describe those key words that are in there. And so the text that we're going to be inputting into these topic models is all the abstracts, because and we're hoping to be able to find a way to do it with a full text of every article, but that's a little hard to do sometimes, especially with older literature that hasn't necessarily been digitized. So we, put it through these models, and the packages that we use, for those that are interested in maybe trying this out, the two packages that are really key to this in the R language are TM, which stands for text mining, and topic models. So now on to some results that we kind of pushed out from this analysis. And I'm going to focus on just three crops today that we did this for. We split up all the libraries by crop and then analyzed those separately because we found that was a pretty interesting way to do it. So the first is wheat. And what's kind of interesting about this that we found is that a huge amount of the literature that was popping up was the older literature from the Soviet Union. So you'll see on the right, that's a histogram of the five journals that published most frequently about perennial wheat. And the first one with over 20 articles is, and I don't really even know how to pronounce that, but it's Selekcija i Semenovodstva. But that's a Soviet journal on selection and breeding. And so a number of those papers are pretty old, not necessarily accessible to us, but we have abstracts for them. But it's a lot of... there was a lot of breeding effort that was done and published on from the Soviet Union from, I believe, the 50s and 60s mostly. But then the others are ones that are more recent publications, Field Crops Research, Agriculture, Ecosystems, and Environment, which is where a number of the really important review papers on perennial wheat and those concepts surrounding it, particularly ecosystem service concepts, and Crop Protection, Soil Tillage, and Soil and Tillage Research. So as you can see down below, that's a kind of graph of when publications are coming out in time. And there's kind of a steady number of publications, mostly from the Soviet Union, going from the 60s into the 80s, and then a more recent uptick in recent years as it's become a more interesting and more widespread topic, thanks to work from the Land Institute, Washington State University, and others. But up top there is the table of the topics and the keywords describing those three topics that emerged here. So topic one, perennial hybrid, plant variety cross, those are the words that kind of came out. So those are perhaps ones that you might associate with sort of breeding literature, things to do with the agronomy of the crops. Topic two, crop soil effect increase plant. That we don't really know what to make of. It's a little bit more less specific, but perhaps more to do with kind of systems literature, the kind of agronomic system that these crops would be creating. And then the final one, use system, product, farm, water. That seems much more general. It's something to do perhaps more with the review literature, things like that. Pigeon pea is the second one we chose to focus on for this presentation. And you can see that most of the publications are coming out in International Chickpea and Pigeon Pea Newsletter, as well as a handful of Indian journals, the Indian Journal of Agricultural Sciences and Indian Journal of Agronomy. And so it seems like this is a crop that where the international research community is more focused on perennializing it or interested in how it can be used as a perennial. And there's basically no existence or no research on it as a perennial until more recently, until after 1980. And the topics that kind of seem to emerge with this are, the first one, crop, maize, use, season, growth. That seems particularly maize is probably the most important term that pops up there, and its use as an intercrop, which has gotten pretty extensive attention, especially in more recent years and in contexts like in sub-Saharan Africa. The second, yield, system, soil, intercrop, product. Again, one that seems a little bit more general, something that's more to do with kind of systems and intercrop systems in particular. And the third one, seed, plant, plot, pot. Seed, plant, pod, yield, genotype, which definitely feels like more like breeding literature.
Okay.
And rice, the final one. So the most, this one by far had the most literature on it, and most of that appearing in the International Rice Research Newsletter, as well as a handful of other journals. And then, actually, there's a whole journal dedicated to rice ratooning, which we did not know before this. Perhaps others here knew that, but. And it's been a lot more kind of research that's it's been a steady sort of increase until current day. And the topics on this, you know, it seems to shake out a lot in the same way as previous ones. There's some that seem to be more to do with breeding and particularly with how it ratoons, and then that final topic three seems more to be, again, to do with kind of general system stuff. So conclusions. Without trying to kind of overinterpret those topics that emerged, you know, this is really, it's pretty preliminary. We really only have gotten the method down and figured out how to do it in recent weeks. Without trying to overinterpret, but it seems like there's maybe three different types of topics that emerge. And as I was alluding to in all those different crops, they're either sort of agronomic, they're related to breeding, or there seem to be more kind of general system. So, you know, how would these crops function within an agricultural system, or how would users use those crops? But more importantly, probably, is what's missing. And that seems to be that there are no topics that really emerge that are more related to things like soil biology or soil carbon nitrogen, which are really the biggest things that we talk about when we talk about what are the benefits of these. You know, we're really interested in how do they provide us with different kinds of ecosystem services than annual crops. And that literature, it's either buried or it's not really quite there yet, which makes sense in a lot of ways, because in a lot of ways the crops aren't there yet. But so that's kind of what we have. You know, hopefully we'll be able to refine the method a little bit more and come up with some more.